Yo, what's going on, man? You guys are now tuned back into the Freestyles Podcast. Man, we got another banger of an episode for you guys today, man. But you already know, before we get into the episode, hit that subscribe button below, man. We on the run to 200. We need that done ASAP. Make sure you keep checking on with the Instagram page. We appreciate everybody for getting us to 400. Make sure you keep on hitting that like button, comment, boost the engagement, do all of that. Merch, www.freestyleshop.com. Everything great material. If you're on campus, we'll pull up quick, easy like that. Yeah, without further ado, you want to go ahead and get into the episode. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Deanna. I'm a player on the women's basketball team at Illinois State. I'm just glad to be here.
Thank you. Like, usually before we start the podcast, I like to, you know, give the guests a, you know, a quick thank you just for, you know, being quick with a response and you're taking the time out of your day to actually show up too. So thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Always.
I want to kind of, you know, jump into a little bit. Like, when did you know you were good enough?
I'm kind of a late bloomer when it came to basketball. I didn't start playing until my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, probably like my junior year. That's when I was like, I could probably do a little something with this.
Like, how was that process? Like, you know, like, reaching out to schools and schools reaching out to you. Like, how was that process for you? Like, was it, like, overwhelming? Or was it like, okay, how do I make a decision, you know?
I went very under the radar my high school year. I actually had a very funny story. I committed to a Division II school. I ended up decommitting in, like, July. Had no school, so then that's when I went JUCO. Now, leaving from my JUCO was a little bit harder of an experience. I had several offers that was kind of, like, overwhelming. But same time, though, I felt no pressure trying to pick a school. Like, I feel I couldn't make the wrong choice, but I'm glad I came here. When I was talking to the coaches here, it was just a different experience, a different feeling.
Okay. And then on top of that, too, though, like, how is the skills level between JUCO and D1?
I don't think it's too much different. You got some dogs at the JUCO level. That's just, like, some of the cards that were dealt was just unfortunate. I've probably had some of my toughest competition at the JUCO level.
Yeah, I think we hear that a lot of time when it comes to, like, sports in general, especially in, like, basketball and football when it comes to JUCO. Because a lot of times kids, it's either, like, it's a grade problem, or, like she said, they're coming from, like, just a rough environment where they'd be, like, the school that they came from didn't have many opportunities. They didn't have coaches around. They didn't get to showcases and shit like that. So it's a lot that goes into, like, going to JUCO and shit like that. Or some people just prefer the JUCO route because they might have D2, D1 offers, but they know, okay, I got somebody at my position right there, so I'm probably not going to get the playing time, or that's been communicated to me. I'm not going to get that playing time, so I'm just going to go ahead and go to JUCO route and grind.
Right.
That's exactly what's up, too, though. Like, when, you know, like, nowadays, like, women basketball be taking off. Like, I really ain't pay attention to women basketball, so, like, recently, because, you know, like, that was, like, my fault, too, you know, not neglecting, like, the talent on that side.
Yeah, but, like, no, that ain't your fault. For real though, it ain't been like real entertaining until like the last, I say, 4 or 5 years. That's what shit.
It's been entertaining. The platform has finally got there, so now everybody want to be on notice. But you've been have players up that did thing, could probably hoop a couple of the players in the NBA right now.
So what you think for like has like projected it in the last couple of years? Why are we watching it more?
I think once the platform grew, you had a lot of players. You know, the rankings from ESPN, like, that goes into it. And then, like, a lot of people are putting on notice for, like, in regular, like, girls hooping, not just really quiet no more. Like, y'all starting to realize, like, we really got some dogs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, too. Like, I obviously know what I took blame just because, you know, like, I wasn't tuning in to know a woman basketball. Like, it was going to be either I'm watching NBA or I'm watching football. But recently, I just started watching, like, the NCAA tournament for the girls. And I'm like, hold on. They got some real life dogs now. Like, it wasn't like how, you know, we used to think like there was no skill competition. We used to think it was just like 2 or 3 that were like.
I never thought that. It's just the game was slower. I think that now, I think that they are doing like a better job. I think that the skill level has increased and shit like that. But I think that, to your point, it was always dogs and shit like that. But the platform has like grown. Not just NCAA, but WNBA and shit like that. Names get bigger. And I think like it's part of like. Like, ads run the world. So, like, they putting more money behind the WNBA now. It's not like, I wasn't saying it as like a talent thing. I was just saying it as like, no, you're not wrong, because it was no money there. So basically it was hard for you to find it. If you're not a fan of the women's dance, it would be hard for you to find it. Not a talent thing, but just a, they not pushing that shit. But now they are pushing it, and it's like, it's just a platform, basically, like she said.
Okay. Like, what do you think would be the next level to the women, like WNBA team, or get to that next level where, like, there's a lot more viewership? I know you mentioned the platform being there. Like, what do you think might help with that?
More in WNBA teams. It's like a lot of, it's a lot of talent that's, I mean, they only have like 12, 14 roster spots, and if you don't make it, you're just cut, period. So they need more teams so they can have, people can watch more of their favorite players, more of their people that's like, that's in, that's actually going to the league.
Do you think something like, you know how like the NBA has like the G League, do you think something of that nature will also help? Like, if like there's a lot more teams also having different, you know, like avenues for players to still be able to enjoy the game and play the game. You think that might help?
It might, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of girls go overseas if they're not in, when they're not in season. So I'd probably like keep them in the States. Like, I think that'll help a lot too.
Okay. I know you mentioned like going overseas and shit like that. I know the reason, a lot of reason for that is because like the pay with the WNBA. So do you think like the pay would be like something that substantially increases all of that, all of this?
I don't think the pay matters as far as like the viewership goes, but the pay matters for the athletes that's putting in time for that. Yeah. But like for the viewership, no.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also like, you know, like with, I think also what might have actually brought more, a lot more attention to might have been the NIL stuff, you know, like you start to realize like, okay, not only men are actually getting paid in college now, you know, like you get to start realizing like, stats, okay,
yeah.
Like you start to realize there's many more avenues and more athletes that are involved with this, you know, people getting paid. So like, do you think also that had a factor in the viewership for this past like year at least?
I think NIL helped a little bit, yeah. It helped put the world on notice, like talking about Caitlin Clark. Like, you know, she had asked all throughout the NCAA tournament, her, Angel Reese, like just different players, and then Juju Watkins. Like, I think NIL has helped like put them on the map, not put them on the map, but like make the game to where people want to see it a little bit more.
Right. I wanted to kind of switch gears and just, you know, focus a lot more about like your career. I said WNBA, like I said, basketball player. Like, when, like, what, like, I want to ask you, like, what has been some of your favorite memories playing basketball? And then on top of that, too, like, what has been some of the most difficult things that you have to endure while playing basketball?
Part of my greatest memories is mostly like the friendships I made. And it's just like, we're a bunch of girls and it's just been like an up and down road where it's like you get so many different characters, so it's always something and it's always a great time. And I've always, like, even at JUCO, like even here, it's always been such a fun time just learning about my teammates, the new staff that comes in, the staff that recruited me, things like that. I think the hardest part is like when we start the season and we just like, it's just a grind all day, every day, and it's just like having to keep your body in shape, just eat healthy. I think that's probably kind of like the hardest, I would say.
Do y'all get like a lot of transfer students and shit like that? So it's like gelling with new teammates. Is that part of like the new season and shit like that? Or do y'all for the most part have the same team except for seniors and shit like that?
I mean, for the most part, you always gonna get a couple transfers that you have to like accommodate, and then you have to like acclimate them to the new system and stuff. But it's, for the most part, it's usually people will stay and we're just like jail the way we used to.
Mm-hmm. What's some like team building activities that y'all do to help like team chemistry and shit like that, or just like a team out and y'all got a couple days off or something like that, or a weekend off?
Sometimes we'll just go to each other's houses and chill. I know when we're on the road, we just did an escape room not too long ago, so just breaking us into teams, like two teams, and then we go to dinner a lot too on the road. It's hard to do it more so in season, like at home, but whenever we on the road, our coaches was very good about making sure like we were intertwining with each other.
But yeah, that's a good thing that the coaches do like push that on the team, like teammate chemistry and shit like that, because you got a lot of coaches that's like a foregone part of the game. They focus on more on the X and O's and not focus on them. They do got to get along, or they don't have to get along, but they do have to have some type of, that does help on the basketball court when they are personal friends or they do like have a better fond memory of each other. in any sport, not just basketball, baseball, football, any sport really. Team chemistry through the roof. I think y'all get a lot more accomplished on the court.
And then I also wanted to, you know, touch on, you know, like when you mentally check out sometimes, you know, like you don't want to be there or anything like that. Like, how do you try to, you know, find the right place so you can always be there for your teammates?
I think in that time, because that has happened to me before, I just had to lean onto God for a little bit more strength with it. You know, he's never failed me. I don't think he's going to start. So mm-hmm. just have to lean onto him a little bit more in those type of moments. And then my teammates always loved me. They always cheered for me. So they keep me strong as well.
I feel like sometimes, you know, like that's something that like a lot of people don't touch on enough, like the mental aspect, you know, like sometimes as a viewer, I might think, okay, you know, like you getting paid this much and that, you might as well play every game, you know, but sometimes though it's like, okay, at the end of the day, you got to realize they're also human beings at the end of the day, like shit happens, people go through shit. So being able to understand that, I think that's what we're lacking from the like the fan aspect of the sports.
Yeah, but I don't really think like nobody will understand until like you're in their shoes. So it's just a thing of having to just pay attention in a sense.
I was just going to say that's something that probably going to never change because as the fans, we get kind of like greedy and shit like that. And we don't put ourselves in their shoes. We don't humanize them. They looked at kind of like as celebrities to us and shit like that. So when they looked at like, when they're looked at like that, it's kind of like we expect them to be there every night, no matter if they back hurt and they grandma just died. It really don't matter. When we get putting our money into it, it's like we expect y'all to be there. But I feel like, yeah, we do need to do that. But like she's saying, it'll never fully be there because they just won't fully understand and grasp unless you really been in the trenches like that.
It's true. And then I wanted to, you know, sometimes you might have to go work out alone. You might have to, you know, go work on your game and things of that nature. Like, what is some parts of your game that you always try to improve on and, like, you know, things of that nature?
Mostly my touch around the rim and then my shot. I used to not be able to shoot at all. It was kind of sad. But whenever I got into the gym, I needed to shoot the mid-range in order to help the offense flow a mm-hmm. little better. And obviously, like, I'm a post player, so that just comes. I just need to have good touch around the rim so I can learn how to finish at all angles. I think that's really what I emphasize whenever I got into the gym.
I did want to touch on the season a little bit because I know you had a lot of highlights. I've seen you damn near every week. It's a new highlight out, whether it's from Mole Sports. Shout out Demola and the whole team over there. They do a great job and everything. But whether it's from them, ISU, or something like that, every week I'm seeing some. So I just want to give you props on your season and things like that. I have some stats that I did think was like crazy as hell. It say she finished her career with 1,545 points, which is 7th program history.
Hold on, and she talked about she ain't really know how to shoot. That's crazy.
7th in program history, 867 rebounds, 2nd in program history. Obviously, double double queen. 395 career free throws, 2nd in program history, and 25 career double-doubles, which is 4th in program history. And then also one of 2 players in program history with at least 1,500 points and 800 rebounds.
So that's crazy.
A lot of stats, a lot of history being made and things like that. So I just want to give you props on your season. But like, kind of was it something before the season that you felt like, man, I'm locked in to a different level. I'm feeling it this season. I'm really just ready to give it my all right now.
It was my last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to leave it on the court where I can say I did everything I could this whole year.
Mm-hmm. So, like, what was going through your head? Let's say, like, the game before you realized you were going to, you know, set all these records, right? What was going through your head? Was it like, okay, no matter, once I touch the ball, I'm shooting? Or was it like, what was going through your head at that moment?
I honestly didn't know I had those records. I knew about the rebound one, and I knew about the double-double one. I tried to get to the 10 rebounds. I'd always topped at 9.
Yeah.
But as far as the scoring, that one just kind of came. I didn't even realize it.
And you just touched on you not being a scorer. I think you need to give yourself some props on that side of the game.
Yeah, shit, top anything in program history, I think, is like, it deserves a acknowledgement, but not just one category. It's multiple categories in different lanes. You feel me? So I think that's just always it needs to be highlighted, especially in a women's game and shit like that. Because I feel like in a women's game, it's a little bit hard to be consistent, but it's like when you're consistent at that level, at a high level, it shows like the preparation, it shows the dedication and things like that.
Exactly.
So it's always good to see that.
And then I kind of wanted to, you know, switch gears a little bit. You know, like, you're not only just an athlete, you're a student too. So, like, how do you prep yourself for like days when it's like, okay, like, I don't have basketball. I don't have, you know, no type of excuse to be like, okay, I can't get my work done or anything of that nature. Like, how do you still remember that you are a student?
We have academic coordinators. He sent me a to-do list every week of the homework I have to do. If I have anything outside of, like, class or homework, that's something I have to remember. But his name is Brent. He does a great job of, like, keeping me on track of school, making sure I was going to graduate. And he's just a great guy. Like, I don't think I'll be this far in school without him.
That's major as hell. I wish I had a nigga that's, well, not a nigga specifically, but I wish I had somebody that was on my ass, like, lay my homework schedule out every week. You know how easy school to be? If they just had everything laid out, they got all assignments and shit like that all in one place every week.
Did they go through your schedule of classes and everything to make those plans?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
That would make life so much easier.
Hell yeah. We talk about it all the time. Like, I think organization is one of the biggest keys, like, when you're in college and shit like that, especially in the beginning, because it's, like, a lot of shit that be hitting you at one time. So, if you're able to have things organized, calendar, you know, you got your schedule out, boom, 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 I'm doing this, my even free time laying down and shit like that, that shit go a long ass way. Now, following it, that's a different thing, but laying it out, I think that's a step in the right direction.
I just feel like sometimes, too, you got to be able to visualize what you need to be done, like what needs to be done in order to actually do it, too. Because, you know, we can all plan and execute, but sometimes, like, without a vision for you, without actually seeing how you're going to actually go through it.
Niggas don't be having a map.
That's a problem. But that low key too though, like, you know, so you graduating this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some plans that you have upon graduation?
I want to play overseas. I just signed with, well, I haven't signed, but I have an agent I'm going to work with. I just had a combine when I told you I was going to Cleveland this weekend. Yeah. That's what I went there for. So, overseas for a couple years, and then I'm going to see about the coaching thing. I don't really want to give up basketball, so we'll see.
So, you know, you want to be around the game in some form.
Yeah.
That's good too.
Like, if you were to coach, would you coach like high school level, college level? Like, where's your mind at around that?
I want to be college level.
Is there any reason why?
No reason. I think Yeah, there's no reason why. I would work with high school kids, but I think I would want my profession to be college athletics.
Okay, that makes sense. Just based off, like, I feel like also you might think they're more into the game, so it's kind of like easier to kind of teach. Would that be your case?
I can't say that all college athletics are easy to teach. I think the bonds that you get from college athletics, obviously, like, being a player, I've met so many different players, like, some in California, some in Las Vegas, like, some in New York, Maine. Like, it's just so many connections that come with the college world that I just really appreciate.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to college, I do want to touch on the aspect you said not all college, like, athletics are easy to deal with. I think that egos is something, especially in, like, the NIL days and shit like that, where social media, period, I think that ego is something, like, can be tough to deal with on the college, especially on the college campus. You could, if you the man on campus, like the man on your team, that could come with a lot of fucking clout, especially if you come from like a very active campus or just like a prestige school that's known for sport and shit like that. So egos, when it comes to coaching, egos could be something that could damn the derail the whole program just because one nigga don't want to get in line on something.
Was there ever a time where you had to check somebody on their ego, or you check yourself on your ego, just like when it's like being put in front of like the team?
I kind of had to check myself when I first got to ISU. Coming from JUCO, you know, I was an All-American there, so I had a big head coming here, and there was a complete shift as to what like I was being asked to do, and it was kind of hard. Like I was used to starting, I was coming off the bench, I wasn't playing as much as I wanted to, and then I wasn't buying into their system. It was completely on me. It was something I just had to get used to, but once I did that and, like, I just had, like, a good talk with myself, things just became a lot easier.
sometimes that's all you need to do. Like, look in the mirror and actually, you know, don't wait for somebody else to come tell you what you need to get done. Like, actually being able to tell yourself, okay, I know I used to be this and that, but now they need me to be somebody else, or like they need me to play a different role. So I understand my role. I know my time is coming. But sometimes that's what we lack too. Like, everybody want to be the main superstar, but sometimes, you know, there's different roles in the team, and somebody got to play that role.
Yeah, definitely agree with you.
I mean, I think it's just hard as human beings, especially if you know you're good at something. Like, if you know you're great, talented at something, it's hard to, like, or if you feel like you're better than someone else that's getting maybe more opportunity or just more shine, it's kind of hard to put that shit away and be like, man, I got to accept it. Because it's like, especially when you're putting in work for something, it's hard to kind of ignore all the facts. I know I should be put in this position. I know I'm better than this person. Well, I know I'm doing this. So it's kind of hard to shut that off at that point, you know?
Yeah, so, like, what do you think might help with somebody to, you know, kind of change their mindset on that? You know, like, just being able to be like...
I don't think you need to change in that.
Okay.
When it's that, in that event, I don't think that you should change. I think that if you know, like, you've been putting in work and you know that you are better than this person or you should deserve that spot, I don't think that your attitude should change. I just think you should keep on doing what you're doing, and sooner or later either the opportunity is going to come or you're going to be put in a position or put on a team where you can show that. But I don't think that you necessarily got to change that attitude. I think that just that's part of, like, maybe having like a dog mentality, you know. I think that that's part of it, is knowing like I'm better than these niggas. I really deserve this spot, you know. I don't think that now, if you're just being delusional and you know you ain't been putting in the work and shit like that, you're not locked in, then yeah, you need to turn that off at that point, you know. But I think that's all, that's just part of being competitive.
Competitive. Okay. Because I just feel like also, like, I can somewhat agree with that just based on, like, it's okay so far as it doesn't help, like, it doesn't hurt the achievements of the team, you know, like, hey, but like, you know,
but yeah,
like, everybody got individual goals, right. But like at some point, it's a team sport. It's not, you're not playing.
It's five people on the court all time.
So it's like, keep putting, you can't, don't change your attitude. Like you said, don't change your mentality. But like, the tough thing about it is, some people leashes are longer than others. And then some people were in the program for so long, but then that's when that work just comes in. Like, you showed them why in practice, you showed them why in skills over the summer, you showed them why. Like, they can't deny you.
Yeah, that's what I be saying. I think we touched on, we was talking to Miles a little bit, and he talked about, like, his senior year, he just, shit was trash, basically. And he just talked about, like, staying resilient and shit like that, and basically waiting for his opportunity to show, like, show some shine. And I feel like that's all it really is knowing, you got to know, like, okay, maybe somebody going to get injured, somebody going to get in foul trouble, we going to blow somebody out. I'm going to get my opportunity to get in the game some point and prove what I could do. Even if it's for 2-4 minutes, mm-hmm. I'm going to still get in and do something. Because I feel like, and those times, I feel like that's where a lot of, we touched on, that's where a lot of, like, college athletes are made. That's the difference between LA Fitness Hoopers and niggas who go to, like, college and shit. Because LA Fitness Hoopers, they quit. They say, hey, man, coach wasn't playing me, this, and this, all type of excuses. But the niggas who in college right now on scholarships is the ones who say, fuck it, I'm going to just keep working. Fuck what coach doing, he not playing me, this and that, I'm going to just keep working.
I agree.
It'd be the difference between niggas. LA Fitness Hoopers, they got talent. Niggas can hoop up there. It's just shit didn't work out.
Yeah. And then I kind of on top of that too, like, has there been any moments where, like, you might be a couple guys on the, like, let's say on the man basketball team, that, you know, you watch them practice or anything, like, I think I could take you 1-on-1? Has there been, like, I'm just saying, has there been, like, any type of incidents like that? Because I just know a lot of women will beat me 1-on-1, regardless of the situation. I just know they're going to beat me. So has there been any time in the gym where you're looking like, if my life was on the line, I'm beating you 1-on-1?
I mean, yeah, I've been to a couple of gyms with some guys. Like, obviously, I just have to, like, prove my, I hate that, just prove myself, like, I can really hoop. Like, y'all not finna just keep trying not give me the ball.
Right.
Yeah. But as far as the men's team go, I can give a few of them a bucket, like,
you want to say some names?
Miles.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hey, Miles, my bad for the question, bro.
Yeah, I think that's it's always good to have confidence and shit like that, especially when it comes to co-ed sports. You always going to need that competitive and shit like that. And it could tough. it toughens a woman up, especially if she grew up around playing with brothers or cousins or shit like that, or just at the park and shit. You most likely playing with boys at the park. There's not many girls playing. So I think that'd be a time where women could like really just learn toughness, really.
Bro, that's also like sometimes too, like it shows that you still like you a dog, like being able to, you know, compete with them and, you know, like kicking them off the court, you know, having another team come on, kicking them off the court, it shows that, like, okay, she's not to be played with, you know? Like, it gives you a sense of, like, knowing, like, you belong, you know?
Yeah.
And then I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit, like, has there been any times where, like, your back was really against the wall that you had to, like, persevere on the court?
When we had won the NBC, I think it was 2 years ago, we had went on a 4-game losing streak before we went into the tournament. So that was kind of we was at the top spot. We dropped to the fourth.
Oh, shit.
I was the second leading scorer at the time. We had Juju. I'm not sure if you guys know her. She was a dog. She kept me going. And then our championship game, I just couldn't seem to stay on the court. Like, every time I went on there, I got a foul. But I got fouled with, like, 0.8 seconds left. And I had two free throws. I missed one, made the other, and then we ended up winning that game for the championship. But it was just like,
A sense of relief.
Yeah.
Like you, like the lights is bright. Everybody's looking at you. Like,
yeah. Do you feel like you gained something in that moment though? Like you kind of like you came out on the other side, like having gained some like confidence or gained some toughness or shit like that in moments like that. Do you feel like you gained some after that?
I feel like in those type of moments, they make you tough. Like, you can't be tired. Like, you just, like, you have to find a way. And I think that's what that did for me in a way, yeah.
Like it's good to hear that just because, like, you know, everybody dream about, like, you know, hitting the last shot on the basketball court or, like, winning the game like that. But then you get to the other side where it always don't happen that way. Like, sometimes, you know, like, somebody else has to be the person that do it. And then for you to be in that moment, miss one, and still be able to realize, like, okay, we won. But this is a great feeling at the end of the day, you know, like being able to still be able to lift up that trophy, you know.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And normally with all the athletes, we typically come up, when they come on, we ask them what professional athlete do they think that they're most comparable to? So who in the WNBA do you think your game is, like, most comparable to? Or would you say kind of it molds in that way? Or it could be college as well.
I want to say Asia Wilson. Just for the fact, I'm more of a face-up player. She's more of a mid-range. She can shoot the three. I'm not really a three-point shooter, but just in the sense of a more of a mid-range game.
And she's a great rebounder, too.
She is a great rebounder.
A dog, though. Yeah. She's a dog.
Bro, she's going to get it anyhow she can. Bro.
For sure. She's tough.
Yeah.
Like, let's say a game on the line, right? Ball in your hands. 3 seconds left. Ball in your hands. What's your go-to shot?
It depends on how the defense is guarding me. I can't lie.
See, I'm not really good at breaking down defense, so you might need to take that charge.
A lot of times when I face up team sag off, I have a shot. I usually take it. If they sag off, I'm going to take the shot, and it's at ultimate confidence I'm going to make it. But if they get up, dribble, middle, spin, move, lay.
That's tough.
Okay.
Dribble, move, spins. I feel like that's too much happening in like 3 seconds, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to a big body to it like that, somebody who know how to move their feet and shit like that, I feel like anything, spin moves and shit like that is going to get the job done. Especially when in those moments, I feel like defense is overplay. So you could draw a foul, anything like that. I feel like it's a lot that could happen during that time.
Okay. That's pretty impressive. Like, when you're watching a game, right? Are you able to, like, sometimes break down plays before it happens? Like, let's say you're watching a random basketball game or, like, watching a WNBA game or college basketball. Are you able to, like, break down plays before they happen?
No. I usually see it, like, after the fact, like, oh, she should have said a stagger, so they had to chase. Like, but, like, as far as, like, breaking it down before, no. I have to see and then, like, break it down so what happened afterwards.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I just feel like anybody that has that type of, you know, even like being able to break it down after, that's pretty cool to know about sports, you know, because like sometimes like you need the signs of the sport too. Like you need the little breakdowns because shit, I watch basketball games. I just watch for the 3-point. I just watch for the layup. I don't understand shit, to be honest. I'm just watching for the score. So, like, being able to actually see people that can break down the game and make it more, like, interesting in a sense, it helps.
Definitely. I feel like something that's missing from the game. People that's able, like, more X's and O's type shit. I know we see him right now with LeBron, his podcast and shit like that. It's more of an X and O's, breaking down the game type shit. I think that when somebody able to understand like that, and I feel like a lot of times that's where the best coaches and shit are made at, because they're able to see the game from like all point of views and different lenses, and they're able to break down and explain shit differently than other people are. So I feel like when you got a mind like that in the game, it makes everybody's job easier. Coaches, players, everybody, when they're able to pay attention to all the X's and O's and everything that goes on the basketball court. Right.
And then, did you play any other sports growing up, or was it always like basketball?
I did volleyball for a couple years in high school, and then my last year I ran track. I was so grateful for that. When I got to JUCO, my JUCO coach ran us so much.
Yeah. You didn't really like those sports, or was it just that he ran y'all so much you didn't fuck with it?
Volleyball was cool, but I had a head coach that was basketball or nothing. So yeah. I just ended up dropping it and just playing basketball.
Looked like you made the right decision.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that, you know.
Because sometimes, you know, like, coaches might steer you wrong, but I look like that coach didn't steer you wrong.
You ever had a coach like that in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what? Just because, like, when you're better at one sport, they always want to keep you in that one sport. I had a coach that wanted me to run track, and I was like, yeah, no, I like soccer better. So I quit track.
I mean, volleyball definitely, I really wish I would have kept doing it. My head coach got fired my junior year. So my senior year, I had a different head coach. Mm-hmm. But he was my AAU coach, so I knew him. But volleyball helped me, like, block shots, like the timing of it and stuff. And obviously, what I said about track. So it's like every sport kind of helped me with basketball.
I was just going to say, we do see a lot of athletes do other sports, though, when they're in the off season, specifically track and shit like that, just because it helps with speed, strength, mobility, and all of that. I think track is a hell of a fucking sport. It's just so fucking tough. Like,
who wants to run for fun?
Yeah. Like, I be telling niggas, you run for fun. Stop talking to me. It's not a sport. You running, bro. I do think it helps, like, with a lot of shit, though. But
hold on, though. We did that for 3 months, so.
And it helped with a lot of shit. But I think that's a tough fucking sport to do, bro. To be locked in like that, I give a lot of props to them niggas.
Crazy. I wish I did it for 4 years. Like, I literally had so much fun running track.
Hell yeah, you'll be a dog.
What do they call it? Like, running high? Like, when you're running, like, it's called a running high, I think it is.
What's
like,
that?
It's pretty much like, you know, like your, I think your mood is like through the roof when you're running. Just like, it's like when you stop.
My shit was through the roof when, like, I was running.
Yeah, they call it running high. I don't really know the science of explaining it, but I know that's what it is.
Well, a little bit
of
dopamine. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Give you a little bit of dopamine.
Yeah, it's just your mood is through the roof. Like, yeah. Like, that's why, like, you can run for so long without actually feeling tired.
Who can?
I said, like, that's why a lot of people can run for so long without getting tired. Wow. When you're jogging and things like that, you could probably jog for, like, 30 to 45 minutes without getting tired.
Who?
I can.
Shit. you a different breed, though.
But it's only a jog, though. It's not like full speed running. Like, no. Yeah, that full speed shit, it could keep that. But I wanted to, you know, kind of a little bit, like, what you going to school for? Like, what's your major and everything like that?
I major in criminal justice and I'm a minor in psychology.
Okay. I know basketball has to do a lot of, like, psychology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, how do you try to put that in the game kind of together?
I didn't really put it with basketball, right. But I have a teammate, her major is psychology. She mm-hmm. went into that because, you know, we talked about earlier, mental health with athletes. Mm-hmm. I think it goes just because, like, people think, like, we're all our sport and we're just so happy with it, but, like, when you're not performing, it can bring you down to a place like you never thought you could go. And I think that's when, like, the psychology part, like, you have to know how the brain, you have to know how you feel, like, things like that, that can go into that.
Okay, I think that's really, like, a major that's, like, they don't stress it enough. It's like, I feel like it's not really stressed.
Mental health.
Yeah,
athletics.
Like, psychology is a major.
I think psychology run the fucking world.
I think so, too, but I don't think it's stressed in college for real.
I don't think so. Shit, everybody I'm well, every a lot of girls that I meet, I will say are psychology majors.
I hear nurses and teachers. At least we in a nursing and teaching school, so
that is true. Yeah, I feel like psychology run the world because I mean it's the way the fucking mind and the brain works in any situation. I feel like if you know a lot about psychology, you're able to like navigate through a lot of situations a lot easier.
A lot quicker too.
Navigate through a lot of like tough situations easier because you know how to react to shit and you know what feelings are going to be felt from this.
That is true. So
I feel like anything with the brain and shit like that, it
just sounds difficult to me.
It's basically learning about yourself. I do hear a lot of times when they like when people are learning psychology, they can like they see it. They see that damn, it is true because they see a lot of things that in their real life that matches up to whatever psychology is teaching.
So like, how did you decide on your major? Like, did you come in knowing you were gonna be criminal justice and psychology, or did you do a trial and error to figure out like what was going on?
My major was always criminal justice, but I wanted to go to law school. Mm-hmm. I took a class talking about the deviancy of children, the juveniles and stuff, and that kind of helped me wanting to work with kids more so than go to law school. So that is kind of changing around. And I took a lot of psychology classes, so and it kind of made me want to stick with it. So that was that. I really wanted to work with juveniles, though.
Yeah, I feel like Ricky touched on it all the time, too. Like, sometimes to actually get to know people, you gotta have to touch them during like their teenage years. Like that's the most important time to actually try to get to change people's lives for real, because that's where like you know we developing, we growing, and sometimes like it feel like we know it all, but we don't really know it until we have people to help direct us. You know, because sometimes it is really difficult not having like people role models to help you guide you. You know,
right. Yeah,
I think like when it comes to what you said about like getting to kids in 18 years or before 18 years and shit like that, I think that's crucial, bro. Like, just look at yourself. I would say you 22, 23 right now. So I say look within the past 5 years, you really haven't changed much of, I would kind of say, your core principles. You went through a lot personally probably, but I would say like you kind of get more stuck in your ways as the year goes on, as the years go on, basically. And I feel like when a lot of people, well, trauma basically shapes people. So I feel like, and a lot of times our trauma does come from those early late teenage years because we're going through so much. Our bodies are changing. We're seeing the world differently from what has been told to us for the previous 15, 16, however many years. So you're able to kind of get your own view of the world. So I think it's a lot that's going on around that time. So I feel like if you're able to influence people early on, I feel like it's going to cut 10 times deeper than if you try to hit somebody at 22, 23 when you get more stuck in your ways. You kind of figuring out and you seeing shit for what it is at that point. So it's kind of hard to come in and be like, look at shit this way.
That is true, because you already have your mind made up at like 90% of the time anyways. By the time you're like those type of ages too.
And if you're like a real headstrong person, it's going to take a lot for you to change your mind on something. You know, you're going to have to come with some real concrete evidence for me to change my position on something, especially when it's like, it could be life altering.
That's true.
Honor.
But I kind of, you know, every time we've had an athlete on here, I kind of always try to bring this up. Like, you know, has there been any time a fan has walked up to you and be like, damn, you should have grabbed one more rebound. You should have had two more points. Like, has there been, like, any type of, like, you know, like, sports betting? Like, has there been any fans that walk up to you like, you just messed up my parlay or anything of that nature?
DMs or something like that.
No, but if I have a tough game, they'd be like, tough one tonight, huh? But thanks for telling me. Like, I didn't know that already. But no, I ain't got nothing like that.
Like, let's say if you got into the situation like that, how would you, like, try to handle it, you know?
I wouldn't respond. Like, if it was a DM, I would not respond. I would, like, I'd probably delete the message. But in person, I'd probably be like, yeah, my bad.
Do when you on the court, do you hear, like, crazy shit being said?
I don't be hearing none.
Okay.
Locked in.
Yeah, people probably do say some crazy stuff. I remember one time, we was on a away trip. One of the players' dad used to talk real crazy. I think my mom went to handle that one, though. So yeah. I just let it go.
yeah, that shit. Always some parents and shit happen to check each other. I just know from, like, playing Little League and shit like that, parents and shit, having to check other parents just from how they talking or shit like that. And I think that's something that, like, obviously we older now and you paying in a bigger set, in a bigger arena, but still that's something that goes overlooked when we speak to, like, humanizing athletes and shit like that. You can't talk to these niggas any type of way. Like, just because they on the court and they, yeah, they might not be able to touch you then and there, but people still hear shit like that. Like, and people think just because we at an NBA game or we at a college game or something like that and we're an athlete, I'd had a couple drinks and shit like that, that's and you didn't miss some shots, so I feel like you should have made, or we losing, they feel like that's free game to say anything like that. And I feel like that's, at that point, you're not understanding that this is a human being too.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, they might be having a tough game, and you talking shit ain't gonna make them have a better game at all. If anything, that's gonna take them out of the zone even more.
And especially, like, touching on, like, that's part of the sports that, like I said, us fans we lack. Yeah. Just always thinking, we always want to put our situations first. We don't want to, like, realize, like, the athletes at the end, they have, like, lives going on. They have things that they have to do outside of, you know, the sports that they're playing. I feel like that's something that we as fans, I'm trying to improve on that. So I know people that are listening, hopefully you also try to improve on that and realize, like, at the end of the day, they're human beings as well. But yeah. I kind of wanted to switch gears because you brought up, you know, your mom, your parents, like, family. So, like, during the COVID year, you know, like, when parents and, like, fans couldn't come watch you all play, right? Like, how were you able to still, you know, have those type of support system around you?
Oh, that was my mom. She had to come visit me a lot during COVID. Obviously, she couldn't come to the games, but she would just, like, come to my apartment. I got here my first year, and kind of like I said, it was a rough year for me. Mm-hmm. So I really had to lean on her for a lot. So she just kind of stayed around. When fans were finally allowed, she definitely was there all the time. It meant a lot. And my brother, he's a football player at Jackson State. He does declare for the draft. We'll see how that goes.
What's his name?
Deontay Graham.
Deontay Graham?
Yeah, he just made it to All SWAC O-line.
Okay.
He's a big dude, but he's very knowledgeable. Like, he cut my head on right, too. So it was they really saved me more than what they know my COVID year.
I feel like sometimes, like, we hear that a lot from a lot of the athletes. Like, that was that was one of the hardest transitions that they had to deal with, especially not having parents there, fans there. It's just you and your game. So, like, being able to actually, like, see how, your folks were still there doing for you during that time. Sometimes, you know, I don't know how your relationship is, but sometimes just call them and be like, they might not even know this story. Like, I'm grateful. Like, you know, like, you didn't have to do that, but you always, you know, showed up to my apartment and made sure I was okay no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, your support system in college, I think, plays a huge role in, like, how your college experience goes and shit like that. Because I think we talk about it a lot of time, like, when you're on a college campus, it's easy to feel, like, alone and lonely. Even though you're surrounded by so many people and shit like that, everybody is always shit going on constantly. You kind of feel, like, isolated because you, like, you kind of in your own lane figuring out shit. Mm-hmm. So I think that when it comes to having a support system and when you got people, shit, if somebody able to actually physically come and be here with you too, that shit, that's gold right there. A lot of people struggling from just not being able to see family, or if you're going out of state and shit like that, having to travel less often than you would normally like to. So I think that support system go a long way in college.
And then, how has the mental toughness improved in your game today?
Like, as far as on the court, this period?
Just in general.
It's definitely gotten a lot stronger, in the sense that my COVID year was so rough, so it really helped me, like, build mental toughness. Like, I had to realize, like, everybody's not out to get me. Everybody's not, and then some people don't want to see you do good, but, like, as long as I want to see myself do good, that's all that matters. And that just kind of, like, I went from there. Like, I've had some teammates that used to doubt me a lot, tell me I wouldn't have got this far, and, like, I was just going to be a JUCO player, but, like, that just kind of, like, fuels me, and it's just kind of, like, I just have to build myself up from that.
That is sick. Having your own teammates take the time out of the day to come tell you, like, hey, bro, you know what? I think you should quit.
Something's going on at home.
That's sick.
Something's going on. He's not getting the love that he need at home. But I mean, I think we see it a lot. Niggas, it's envy, bro. A lot of times people feel like they should have your spot, or they just jealous of what the fuck you got going on, knowing they, like I said, they ain't put in no work. That's where the envy part comes in.
I feel like in that type of situation too, though, like a lot of people would have been quit, you know, like being, having your own teammates, people that you think got your back at all times, come tell you like, oh, I don't think you belong on this team. I feel like that's when like a lot of people might, you know, give up on situations like that.
Do our teammates really have our backs though? All our teammates, you know, some niggas not gonna have your back though.
But in a sense though, at the end of the day, like, even if you're not,
I get what you're saying though, you're not expecting a teammate to,
yeah, I'm not expecting my teammate, like, matter of fact, go play for the other team, you know, like, that's like, I feel like if one of my teammates was to be like, okay bro, like, you don't belong here, we don't need you, like, I feel like in a sense, like,
do you feel like that happened more often than we think though? I think it do, especially in college.
See, I'm not an athlete, but I feel like yes, probably do.
How you gonna say you're not an athlete, but you play?
I'm talking about like on the college level.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
You're like, that's probably like something that you probably can answer that I wouldn't have the best insight on. You know.
I think men probably do, but since I don't think men take it seriously, because y'all know, like, y'all talk a lot of trash and. Y'all can leave it on the four lines. Most women can't. So they'll take it somewhere, and then now it's just dragged off. And, like, if a girl gets into it with her teammate on the court, it's, like, strictly basketball stuff. They probably take it off the court. A lot of women do. It's just kind of, like, it's just women, which is kind of, like, sensitive. But, like, you're seeing that kind of, like, go away. But it's just hard for women to, like, keep it on the four lines. So that kind of creates drama, and now all of a sudden she want her to leave. She don't belong here and things like that.
Yeah, okay, so if it gets to that level, then yeah, it's a problem. But like she's saying, I feel like, as like, man, like, we might joke a couple times. We used to play basketball in the rec together, and we would just be going back and forth. I'd be like, you suck.
I would never tell you though, like, you don't belong on the team. So, but was you saying, like, do you think that men do it more than women? Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think women probably tell that, like, somebody behind their back.
Yeah, I would say that. I think that that does happen a lot of time, where niggas just not getting along with everybody on the team, and they might tell his ass, I don't want you here. I know you're not supposed to be here. You're not fit here. I think that happens a lot. Especially, I think that,
I mean, it makes sense with a transfer portal too.
I think that men are just naturally more envious. We naturally more envious than jealous. You know, I just think that as men we are. Not me personally, but I just think I've seen it enough to be like, I think that's something that does frequent the college scene.
Cause also though, like, you know, like, growing up as a man, you're taught, like, don't show emotions, don't say that, don't say this. And then when emotions are balled up, sometimes it might just splurge at a second.
Yeah, because, yeah, you might try to keep it in just because it is your teammate, and you know you got to deal with this nigga for however many more months or years. So you do try to keep it in. But when it comes to, I think, a lot of on-the-court issues, you know, when it's on-the-court, it can be, off the court issues could be brought into it as well. You hear me? I'm so mad at what the fuck you doing on the court. Now I'm just going to talk shit about you personally as well. So I feel like that's when we see a lot of teammate relationships go sour.
So I want to change it to, like, positive side of the teammates aspect of, you know, having teammates. So has there been anybody on your team that you can always rely on, always got your back? You're going through something, you can always pick up the phone, call her, or anything of that nature that you've experienced?
Yeah, on each year I've been here, the team has looked a little different, but I've always had at least, and I'm heavy on the, at least one person I can call, like, whenever I'm just, like, feeling down or just, like, need somebody to talk to.
Okay. And then when we had the man team on here, we also asked them, like, who is the dog of the team? Like, everybody, like, that's the one name you mentioned, everybody's like, okay, you know what, that is the dog. Like, who is that on the women's team?
Right now, I have to give to our freshman, Shannon Dow. Like, she just puts her head down and go. But, like, where I'm a dog, she's just, like, a bucket. She just goes.
I feel like that's what's up. Especially coming from, like, as a freshman, hearing that coming from, like, an upperclassman, you start to realize, like, okay, I've earned respect on this team. You know, like, sometimes, you know, like, sometimes egos get in the way. People don't want to tell you and give you, like, flowers that you deserve at the moment. Until maybe they leave or situations. So being able to say that, she probably gonna listen to this and be proud of, you know, reach out to you, be like, oh wow, like, you actually think I'm a dog.
No. She knows she's a dog. Like, you don't even gotta tell her. She knows she is.
Yeah. That's good. But we do want to thank you for coming on the show, man. It's been a wonderful episode. A lot of game, a lot of gems been dropped. Before we get out of here, you got any questions for me or Austin or anything, or the podcast in general?
No.
All good. You got anything else?
What is one advice that you want to give to student athletes? And then on top of that, outside of basketball and in life general, what is another advice that you might give to, you know, college students too?
I think for basketball, just not let basketball be your only hobby and let it consume you. And then when it comes to life, just put your head down and just figure it. Like, just keep pushing. Like, even when things get hard, just keep pushing.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on here. And like I said, like, thank you again for making this transition really smooth.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get out of here, if you want to get the people somewhere where they can get in contact with you, socials, anything like that.
My Instagram is deannaw.24, deannaw.24.
And before we get out of here, please, Pre-Sauce Podcast listeners, please always remember, never, never stop learning.
Never stop learning, man. Pre-Sauce Podcast, we out.
Yeah. And we out. Off the muscle, I ain't got no time to waste. I'm my only competition. I move at my own pace. Got a bad bitch. She